Epilogue 2. Saint. 18 years later. I sit at my desk at Carnage when my cell rings. I see it's my wife and I hit answer. Hello, sweetheart.
Is she there?
She asks in a tone that tells me she's not in the same good mood that I left her in this morning. No. I look around the office that I share with my brothers and see I'm the only one here. My eyes drop to my watch and I see it's a little after 9. She should be in class.
She's not. I just got a call from the school that she's absent.
My door swings open and my eyes narrow on the brunette. She's got her long dark hair braided and hangs over one shoulder with a white ribbon tied into a perfect bow at the end. It makes her look sweet and innocent, but I know the truth. She's here. I'll call you back.
Do not let her sweet talk you, Saint.
My wife barks into my ear.
She needs to be in school.
Uh-huh. I'll call you back. Love you. I hang up before she can yell at me. Why are you here? I lock my cell and set it down. You were supposed to ride with your sister to school this morning. Tinsley is grounded from driving for 2 weeks. Having to ride with her sister is a punishment that she hates. She rolls her blue eyes and plops down across from my desk.
Berkeley left before the sun came up to go meet with her boyfriend. She's trying some new rose quartz shit on him.
Boyfriend? I ask, stumbling over my words. Since when does your sister have a boyfriend? I'm not even going to try and decipher what the fuck rose quartz means. I'll have to Google that. She waves her hand in the air.
It's nothing serious. Pretty sure he's married.
Married? I slap my hands on the table.
We're 18, Dad.
I run my hands through my hair and take a deep breath. This is going nowhere. Why are you here in my office? I ask again. Let's start back at the beginning.
I got suspended, remember?
Last week. Today is Monday, a new week. You should be in school.
Look what I got.
She ignores me and pulls out a rectangular box from her black backpack that has pink butterflies all over it. She's a walking contradiction in every aspect of life. This is where her mother would tell her not to deflect and drive her ass to school. But curiosity gets the best of me. What is it?
It's a souvenir.
I frown, sitting back in my chair. For what?
I didn't even wash it.
She laughs. Tinsley, that better not be what I think it is, I growl. She lifts her mother's eyes and smiles at me. You can't take a knife to school. She knows this. We just went over this last week, with me, her mother, the principal, and the police officer that were present for our mandatory meeting.
I'm going to mail it to him.
I run a hand down my face, holding it in a sigh. I thought Carnage was going to be the death of me, but nope, it's my teenage daughter. You stabbed him. I'd say the scar he'll have will be souvenir enough. I remind her, as if she could forget.
He put his hands on me, Dad.
She snaps defensively.
He tripped me. And when I didn't fall on my face in front of everyone, embarrassing myself like he wanted me to, he pushed me into my locker.
Being a dad is hard. I have to pick my battles with not only my wife, but also a little version of her who thinks she's invincible. It's my fault. I'm definitely one of those parents who takes 100% responsibility for the monster I created. Tins, have you stopped to think that maybe he likes you? She gasps dramatically, placing her hand on her white school blazer.
Are you defending him?
No.
It doesn't matter if he likes me. That doesn't give him the right to be a fucking jackass.
Getting to her feet, she leans over my desk and grabs a marker off it. I watch her write, "Watch your back, fucker." You can't do that, I shake my head. That's a threat. Jesus Christ, she's going to get arrested. She's lucky I'm a lord. I had to pull out some major stops for her to stay in her private school. It's her senior year. I didn't want her to ruin it over some boy, no matter who he is. She jiggles the box in her hand as her eyes meet mine.
I'm going to wait for him to open it. He'll probably be dumb enough to put it on his nightstand or dresser. Then I'll break in and stab him with it again.
Tinsley, I get to my feet. She flips her braid over her shoulder and gets to her feet as well.
I'll drop it off on the way to school. See you later. Love you.
She throws her backpack over her shoulder and skips to the door like she's off to see a wizard on a yellow brick road. Tinsley, I growl. She stops, one hand on the door, and turns to face me with a big smile on her face. I've been a sucker for that smile since the moment I held her. It's amazing how cute and evil something can be at the same time. I'm thankful that if she was ever in a situation that required her to fight, I have no doubt she'd win. But that's also what will throw me in an early grave. Don't kill anyone today, I joke, trying to lighten the mood. I know her mother is being hard on her right now. I've always been the lenient one, which is crazy considering the life I live. She laughs.
Don't worry, Daddy. I know how to get rid of a body.
She winks and yanks the door open, rushing out of the office and slamming it shut behind her. Tinsley! I yell, running after her. I yank the door open and hear the door to the stairwell close. I open it up and race down it to the first level. Then I rush outside and hear an engine rev. Fuck. Exiting, I see her on her crotch rocket, fastening her helmet. Did your mother say you could ride that to school today? I demand.
Have to go, Dad. I'm late.
She revs it up and takes off down the curvy drive. I used to let the girls take turns riding with me when they were little. Just around here, Tinsley loved it. Berkeley, not so much. Then Tinsley turned 13 and wanted her own. Both Ashton and I said absolutely not, but for her 15th birthday, Uncle Hayden bought her one. He spent the next year teaching her to ride it. Took her to get her M endorsement, and of course she passed with flying colors. When that girl decides she wants something, she does whatever it takes to make it happen. Hayden also thinks it's cute that she's a pyro who likes to stab boys and encourages her craziness. Ashton told him that the next phone call we get from the school, he's going up there to get her out of trouble. He laughed and said he'd be there. I'm pretty sure Tinsley has him as her ICE contact in her phone. That way he can lie to us about what happens to her in case of an emergency. The bike was one of many things that we took away from her when she got suspended. I know her mother didn't give her the key, which means she cracked my gun safe and got it out. I'd be surprised if she didn't tear the whole damn door off getting to it. She has a knack for destroying shit. I take the stairs down to my car that's parked in the circle drive and fall into the driver's seat. A phone call won't do for Ashton. I'm going to go home and calm her down. I know just the thing. Removing my cell, I pull up the app and turn it on. It makes me smile, knowing she wasn't expecting that. I exit the gates of Carnage and drive across the two-lane road through the matching sets of gates across the street. Living in Carnage just wasn't what Ashton and I wanted for our family, but she understood that I had to be able to be here at the drop of a hat. So we, along with the others, bought the property across the street and built houses. That way all the wives and kids are close to us, yet still out of Carnage. I pull up to the driveway and enter our home. Ashton, I call out with a smile, holding my cell. When she doesn't answer, I expect to find her lying in our bed, face down, with her ass up in the air, ready for me to fuck it. When I left her this morning, she was in a good mood and begging to come. The water from the shower covers my back as I pin my wife to the wall. I've got her wet hair twisted in my hand as I stand behind her. The bathroom is cloudy from all the steam and is full of her moans. Fuck, sweetheart. I pant, lowering my lips to her wet neck. I suck the water off her delicious skin.
Saint.
Her hands flatten on the marble while I push the side of her face against it. I've got her hips pulled back, giving me a better angle to her pussy as I fuck it from behind.
Fuck.
She trails off.
Right there.
The slapping of our wet bodies can be heard over the shower, and I'm glad I locked our bedroom door when I woke up this morning. There's always someone coming in and out of our house. If it's not Hayden or Cash, it's someone's wife or children. What do you say, sweetheart? I growl in her ear. My free hand drops to her right leg. I grip her slick thigh and lift it, allowing me to go deeper.
Please.
She begs breathlessly.
I need to come.
I smile before biting into her neck, forcing her head to the side with my hand in her hair. I suck hard, knowing it's going to leave a hickey. I've been married for over 20 years and still feel the need to mark my wife. I'm never going to change, just like the 666 brand and our vow tattoos will never go away. And just when I think she's there, I slam forward, pinning her to the wall while I come inside my wife.
What the fuck?
She's gasping when I pull out, and she slowly turns to face me. I smile. You gotta earn it, I say, knowing that I'm going to make her wait. She slaps my chest and I laugh.
What the hell did you do to deserve to come?
My smile widens and it grants me another slap, this time in the dick, making me bend at the waist with a grunt. After I fucked my wife in our shower, I bent her over the bathroom counter and put a butt plug up her ass. I told her when I got home I'd finish what I started. But when I enter our bedroom, I see it sitting on our bed, vibrating. Ash, I pick it up, turn it off on my phone, and enter the bathroom. She's not there either. We've got two entrances to our closet, one on either end of the bathroom for his and hers. I enter hers to find her dressed in a black silk robe, hair and makeup freshly done, digging through her clothes. What are you doing? I ask.
Getting ready.
She answers without turning to face me. Where the hell are you going? She didn't have anywhere to be today. That's why I filled her cunt full of cum this morning, and then her ass with a plug. Once you have children, you have to get creative when it comes to sex. I've never ignored my wife. I'm still just as obsessed with her as I was back when I got to take her as mine.
The school.
Not today. I want to take the principal and dean and trap them in carnage, but they have no idea who we are. So for now, we play the game and just get Tinsley through this last year. If I allow my wife to go up there and make the scene like I know she will, I'll have to sweep in and fix it. And why do that when I can be balls deep in her instead? I'll save that for a day I'm in the mood to stir some shit. She's fine, Ash, but I ask, does Berkeley have a boyfriend who's married? She gives a rough laugh.
No.
It makes me feel a little better. My wife spins around and I wrap my hand around her throat, holding her in place. Her gaze is hard, and she tries to push me away, but I hold up the butt plug. Swallowing hard against my hand, she searches my face. What did I say about this? She lifts her chin, and I smile. I love it when my wife challenges me. It gives me a chance to remind her how much she likes to be punished. I told you to leave it in until I got home from work, or you'd be punished, as if she forgot.
You came home early,
she says. Letting go of her neck, I place the butt plug on the dresser island in the center of the closet. Clean it, put it back in, and meet me in the bedroom. For every minute it takes you, you get my belt to your ass. She gasps.
Saint, we don't have time.
We've got all day, I interrupt her. I'll just skip work. Hayden and Cashton can handle it without me. Clock is ticking. I look at my watch and she huffs, grabs the plug and spins around, storming out of the closet. A win is a win and I have no problem cheating in order to make it happen. I open up the top drawer on my side of the island and grab everything that I need and then walk through the bathroom into the bedroom, ignoring her soft moans as she does as she was told. We have a California king-size bed with a metal wraparound canopy. She keeps black drapes at each of the corners, tied back and open. There is a white bench at the foot of the bed, and I walk over and push it out of the way, needing to be able to stand where it's at. I look up to see her now standing in the doorway to the bathroom. Come here, I order softly, and she slowly walks toward me. I could ask her if the butt plug is in, but instead I remove my cell and turn it on. She stumbles, whimpering, and I smile. Good girl. Taking her hand, I pull her into me. She's naked, and I'm still fully dressed. Looking at my watch, I say, it took you 5 minutes.
Saint,
she whispers, licking her pretty pink painted lips. Yeah, Ash? I run my hand through her curled hair. I love when she's all done up for no other reason than to let me fuck it up.
May I please come?
She asks. I kiss her forehead. After you earn it. Then I grab her arm, yanking her over to the bed's footboard. I smack her ass and she crawls onto it. I grab her ankle, stopping her from going too far. Face on the bed, ass in the air, and hands behind your back. I want your feet to hang off the edge and spread your legs wide open for me, sweetheart. I want to see how wet you are. Doing as she's told, I pick up the rope and tie it around her upper arms, securing them tightly, and then bringing it down to her wrists, where she's already got her fingers laced together. She knows the drill. All the hours she spent tied to our bed while I forced her to come over and over again did the job. She never brought up her mother or Laura again. She knows that there is nothing wrong with being my whore, and that there is absolutely nothing I wouldn't do to her body. I take the remainder of the rope and toss it up over the top metal bar to the canopy and pull it down, tying it off to her already tied wrists.
Oh, Saint.
She moans. The rope pulls her arms up at an uncomfortable angle, making her arch her back more and placing her ass up in the air. I undo my buckle and she wiggles her ass when she hears it. I double it over and slap her pretty pink pussy, making her cry out. That's one. I turn up the vibrating butt plug as I plunge two fingers into her wet cunt. I can see she was sloppy when applying the lube, because it's all over her ass, pussy, and in her thighs. She begins to ride them the best she can, since her tight arms don't allow much movement. That's my good girl, I say, entering a third, my thumb rubbing her swollen clit. Show me, Ash. How bad do you want to get off? She moans, digging her done-up face into our bed. I slap her ass with my belt this time and she yelps. How bad, sweetheart?
Please, Saint.
She begs, her bouncing ass fucking my three fingers. I add a fourth and slap her ass once more. It's starting to turn red. You can see each hit, and her pussy is dripping.
Please. Oh, God.
She's practically crying now, her voice so desperate and her body aching.
I need to come, Saint. Please.
She clenches down on my fingers. I drop the belt next to her to turn off the vibrating butt plug, and she growls, yanking on the rope that ties her to our bed. Five swats, Ash. You don't get to come until you get your punishment. I remove my fingers and her shaking body sags. Then I'm going to remove this plug and fuck that tight ass of yours.
Please.
She cries. Only after my cum drips from your ass will you get to come. I was born a spade, brother, but I will die a husband and a father. And when I am buried in our cemetery and arrive at the gates of hell, I'll smile because I'll already know what to expect from the devil. A very short life with my family is worth an eternity of damnation. The End.
Thank you for listening to Carnage. Written by Chantel Tessier. Narrated by SAG-AFTRA members Teddy Hamilton and Michelle Sparks. Produced by One Night Stand Studios. Post by Simplify Productions. Text copyright 2023 by Chantel Tessier. Production copyright 2023 by Chantel Tessier. All rights reserved.